You are listening to PLV Radio Network. Join us in celebrating all of life's possibilities with inspirational, illuminating, and insightful talk shows. Welcome back to another edition of Ask Sarah with your host, myself, Sarah Troy. This week we're going to be talking about words. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I disagree. I think words can cause more harm than those sticks and stones, and at times they stay with us forever. Words spoken in pain, in hate, in loss, in confusion, not only hurt, but they can damage one for life. Words are our belief, your perception of us. And when we define ourselves through these words, it becomes something that can dictate our life. So one has to be mindful and speak your words thoughtfully. Speak with care in a tone that is inviting and not damning. Use words that are careful and that can be uplifting, embracing, and inspiring others. Own your words, for once spoken, they're very hard to take back. Words aren't just the spoken word, they're the written word. They're in songs, they're in whispers, they're in intent. They are powerful, they're empowering. There are statements on how you feel, what you understand, what you invite. Make sure that you are inviting what you really do want, and that you are sharing life's joy and possibilities only. Here are some words that I think can be very, very powerful. When we talk about seeing life, you know, being keen-sighted, being a visionary, a dreamer, somebody that is insightful, somebody that sees things in its picture, in its understanding, in its completion. I am a seer. I'm a spiritual seer. I'm a dreamer seer. I am a visualer. I see my information. That is how I understand it, because that is my organic makeup. Not my genetic, but my organic makeup of actually seeing what life is. But we have to be careful what we see, because sometimes our interpretation of what we see is defined by our emotion at the time. And sometimes we cannot pass judgment on what we see until there is a comprehension of what that sight means. It's the same thing about listening. You know, listening says pay attention. I am communicating with you. I am partaking my emotion, my perspective, my information, my inspiration. And with respect, you listen to that person's perspective, and in turn you respond to what you have listened to. It isn't listening what's in your head and translating what that person's saying to something that might be an issue with you. Truly listen to what has been said to you in its resonance, in its tonage, in its intent, and don't bring your own personal self to it, because you can misconstrue to what you're listening to. Speaking, of course, is communication. You are speaking your perspective, your insightfulness, your knowledge, your inspiration. You are speaking to what excites and passions you. You are speaking to everything that you see, feel, and want to invite out of life. Speaking is action. It is an invitation to action. It is sharing. It is inspiring others. It is communication. It is reflecting. It is your perspective. Speaking is incredibly powerful. And those spoken words, spoken in a wrong tonage, with a wrong word here and there, or with any angst, can be so utterly damning. When you are speaking to something that you believe in, bring your heart and soul into it. Be inviting. Be impassioned. Speak from that conviction that you believe in without any apology. Speak to your belief. for that resonance and that passion will speak to the person, not just the words they're hearing. If you're having a bad day, don't bring that bad day into your conversation. You know, sometimes it's best to be upfront and say, you know what, I'm having a foul day. Sorry, I'm in a mood. Love you to help me get out of it. And don't take what I say seriously because I can't seem to shake it off. It's best to be upfront with somebody. You're inviting them to help change your perspective, shift that attitude. You know, I put you on a different path where you can just shake off whatever it is that's bothering you. But you're also letting them know that where you're at right now, you not only need their help, but please don't take my particular mood as something personal towards you. Rather than just imposing that on someone, be upfront. Let them know, because now you're inviting them to be part of your solution, and you're letting them know it's got nothing to do with them personally. That is a real big one, folks, because we all get into a mood, we all have frustrations, and yes, it's very hard to shake off, and you're in that moment and you're with people. Be upfront and let them know. Take some deep breaths. Shift your perspective if you can, or invite them to help you. That is such an enormous thing for you to do that really can change the entire dialogue. Because if you bring that angst into the conversation, nobody's going to hear the inspiration. They're just going to hear your pissed offness. And now it kind of invites them to get pissed off for something. Nothing is going to happen about, you know, be productive about that. So your speaking is something that's really, really important on everything that you want to communicate. So, doing. Now, what is doing? I'm doing it, or just do it. That's responsibility, folks. That's undertaking. It leads to whatever achievement you want to do, whatever reaction you want to do. The old Nike saying, just do it. Sometimes we have to just do something instinctually, intuitively. And from that doing, we actually understand what it is we're hearing, we're seeing, we're feeling. And it helps us actually understand what the doing is. But it is an undertaking that leads to an action, that leads to an achievement. And it is a responsibility of that action. So if you're going to do something, understand, do it responsibly. And if you do it intuitively, responsibly and untakingly, you will lead to that achievement, that outcome that you want to have. Of course, another word is applying. Well, applying is kind of relating. I am implying the way I feel, or I'm applying a statement. I'm applying my perspective on you, but I'm also applying something to the equation. So applying is kind of relating. It's a peculiar word because, you know, you apply something to something, a spice to the food, an instruction, a tool. And it means that you're kind of relating to what it is and understanding what is needed in this application. You know, a smile. We know that if you meet somebody who has a big smile on their face, it just invites you. It is a projection of how you feel. It is a belief. It is something you have faith in. It is something that you're relating, that goodwill that you're seeing. And sometimes that simple smile can just lift somebody completely out of their darkness. And it really is something then that becomes so inviting and rather like a peanut, folks. You can never just stop at one. When you are once people who smile, you smile. That begets another smile. And it just goes on and on like a beautiful domino effect. And sometimes you just kind of got to force that smile to invite a smile that's going to make your smile more authentic. You know, I find that if you're trying to find a smile in a moment when you don't feel like smiling, look at a beautiful animal doing something goofy. Look at a child and their beautiful innocence. Look at Mother Nature and its beauty. take yourself out of your problem, take yourself out of wherever you're at, and find something to smile at, something innocent, something simple, something in its own divine supremacy, and you will find there's something to smile at. And that smile will resonate with your heart, with your soul, and it's something that leads you into a different action. So sometimes remove yourself from what's causing an issue and go and find something to smile about. Hell, folks, just go to YouTube and look at anything to do with animals and their goofy things. Look at kids and what they do. Look at what some of the, musicians are doing. Just go to YouTube, find something to laugh at, to smile at, and it'll take you out of yourself and help you find a direction back to your solution, to what you really need to do. Of course, attitude is something that's absolutely enormous and imperative in life. It's your approach. It's your boldness, or it can be your arrogance. Your attitude is an invitation. If it is arrogant and uppity and has a huge ego attached to it, you're very off-putting. Nobody really wants to be around you. Your attitude, quite honestly, stinks. It can be negative, it can be uppity, it can be damning, it can be degrading. We've really got to watch our attitude, because our approach to our attitude and what we want back from people is very, very important. If our attitude speaks to that invitation, it speaks to inviting a smile, it speaks to the positivity, it speaks to how you believe in something, then that resonates, that you are confident, you are knowledgeable, you are inviting, you are approachable. So you really do have to watch your attitude, because it is a reflection of your inner self. And if you want to invite people to be comunicado with you, you really have to watch that attitude and that make sure it is inviting and it isn't off-putting. The word positive, I named my company The Art of Positive Living back in 2001. And of course, since then, positive living, positive thinking, positive everything has come out everywhere. And it's a word we throw out and has, rather like a few other words, beginning to lose its value. And I don't want its value to be lost. Positive is optimism. It's also confidence. It's also affirmation. And it's also progress. Positive is something that allows you to believe in something. I feel positive about this. I'm optimistic about what I believe in. I'm confident in what I believe in. This is an affirmation for me. And I know that this progressive thinking of this positivity will lead me to something. So don't let this word become something that gets, I don't care if you use it and overuse it, but just don't let it lose its value, because this positive thinking is so utterly important to everything that we do in life, our approach. We must approach things with a positive manner, with that optimism, in that confidence of what we're doing, we believe in, and affirm to other people what we do believe in, and let that progress of that positivity grow. It's essential. So don't lose that word. Use that word, but use that word in belief of what it really means. I love philosophy. I love people who philosophize. And philosophy is a viewpoint. And for me, it's the divine philosophy, that comes from the universe, the soul talk of people, the heart invitation, the philosophy of something that goes very, very deep in the understanding of why we're here, what the universe is about, the quantum energy that binds science and spirituality, the consciousness awakening, the uniting of our soul, our heart, our spirit, our mind, living in our knowingness. I love the philosophy that allows us to think, to understand a different perspective, something that's presented to us that has no box, has no boundaries, that is a viewpoint that comes from somebody who is a deep thinker. So philosophy is something that really has a great deal of depth to it, a lot of understanding, but it is a viewpoint of that philosopher. And when you take the journey with the philosopher and truly see that depth and that perception, it allows you to open up and understand your perception a lot more. So philosophy is our insight into depth of understanding through people who have taken that journey. And it really could be a very beautiful journey to travel along with. So what is perspective? It is assessment. It's that viewpoint. It is an evaluation. When we look at something, we're looking at it from our perspective, our personality perspective, our organic and genetic mind's perspective. And that is how we're going to understand it, how we're going to assess the information. And of course, your perspective is very much judged on your organic genetic mind and your personality traits. And when we understand what our perspective is, how we actually perceive the information received and what we do to act on that information and communicate it back, when we have an understanding of that, we understand how we also need to open up and listen to those other perspectives in order to get a whole picture. This is our understanding. This is how we see it. This is how we embrace it. So therefore, this is our perspective. And we need to embrace other people's perspectives to truly, fully understand the whole picture of what the topic is. So perspectives is something that's really very, very important. So I talk about the divine a great deal. And you know, that's celestial, but it's also earthy. It's heavenly, but it's also delightful. For me, the divine intellect comes through the soul, around the gut area, through the belly. And that's where the universe speaks to us. A lot of people think it comes through the crown chakra. I am of different perspective, that it comes through our belly. Our divine intellect, that guttural instinct. It is knowledge that we have not yet understood, but we trust. It's given to our heart to resonate with. It's given to our spirit to articulate and act on. And our mind then unites with that knowledge and knows what it needs to know at the time that it needs to know it. It's divine intelligence. And it comes to us in a way of guttural instinct, out of intuitiveness, a sense of knowingness that does not have to be defined or validated. You know it to be the truth that you need to know at that time. The divine isn't just from the universe, it is the earth's knowledge as well. It's resonating with that earthly vibration and understanding that communication. It is heavenly because when you are in that divine knowledge, you are in such etheric peace and harmony. It is a very beautiful place to be. So, of course, it is a delightful state of mind to be living in your divine state of being. And when we open up to that divine and we invite it in, we truly understand what we need to know, why we're here, what our purpose is, and what to do about it. It's really quite wonderful. So the opposite of divine, and another thing that we need to really look at, is cruelty. You know, cruelty is meanness, brutality, vindictiveness, heartlessness. And why are people so cruel? I've often stated that as I'm a divine being living in a human body, in a human experience, that it was so hard through my life to live with humans who are so cruel to one another. Where does this cruelty come from? Why is it so instinctual in the DNA? Why are people so utterly heartless to one another? For me, it is an understanding that they have not yet embraced their consciousness. They're not living in their divinity. They have not attached to their soul. They're not resonating in their heart. So therefore, they do not have a consciousness to understand that what they're doing is wrong, to understand what they're doing is causing and inflicting pain upon other people. They have not taken ownership or responsibility for that pain that they're inflicting. Now, sometimes that cruelty comes from somebody feeling so insecure because they have been inflicted with pain and damage. That's all they know how to inflict back. And it is up to us to help heal them and open up to that inner peace and leading to the divinity. But a lot of times it is just commonplace, common tradition that has been because humanity has not lived in its consciousness thus far. It is awakening to its consciousness now, and people are beginning to feel the pain of the universe, of the world, so much more. And what we're inflicting upon each other is saying, let us not do it anymore. I cannot feel the pain of what I see you doing to each other, what we are doing to animals, to children, to each other, to this planet. I want to stop it by raising my conscious vibration and opening up your enlightenment to what you are doing is wrong and redirect you into what is right for this planet and for the people and all living creatures that are living on this planet. This is the consciousness, this awakening, this divine connection, this vibration, this frequency, this enlightenment, this awakenment, this empowerment that comes from awakening your consciousness. And it will override the cruelty, because you cannot be cruel and vindictive and heartless if you are living in the conscious spirit with heart and soul. I'm a passionate person, which I think comes across. It means I'm very fervent in what I believe in. I'm very zealous of what I believe in. It is from lovingness, and I'm very vehement and enthusiastic about what I share. And I know that sometimes this passionness, this enthusiasm, this zealousness, it can be too much for some people. I cannot apologize to you. I will not apologize to you for being this person. I am a woman of passion in what I believe in. I will not apologize for being that passionate person. If you're not ready to receive this passion, that is perfectly all right. You may need somebody of lower frequency that can invite you and allow you to turn volume up at your own level, at your own time period. But I will not hold my passion back anymore in what I believe in what I am doing, in whom I believe in, or in the energy that I wish to bring to the world in order for it to heal and unite and live passionately in a conscious manner. That I will never apologize for. And I am very zealous in my passion. And I invite you, maybe instead of to being affronted by it, but to open up with it. Take a percentage, just 1% of my zealousness, and apply it to your life. Don't be afraid to switch your own life on. Don't be afraid to speak to your positivities, to your possibilities. Do not be afraid to see what your possibilities are. What is possibilities? What does it mean? There are opportunities. Possibilities is your potential. It's kind of promises that could be given to you. It's options. It's taking risks. It's believing in everything that is possible. I see possibilities in people. Through that, I create opportunities. Possibilities are something that we can follow, we can believe in, if we truly open up to what is possible in our lives. Do not say, oh, I couldn't do that. Don't. Please never say that. Look to what is possible, to what you can do. Understand that everything you have done in life has become your spices, your herbs, your ingredients into your dish of life. And that everything that you're doing is one of those ingredients. And sometimes you have to take an ingredient out because it's going to, you know, change the flavor of the dish. But you don't know what that dish is going to possibly end up being like, or what opportunity that dish is going to present to other people once they taste it. Don't put barriers upon yourself. Don't put blockages upon yourself. Don't put limitations upon yourself. Embrace what your possibilities could be. And the only way you're going to find that out is by taking the action. Is about applying and doing and speaking and believing in what you believe can happen. Because if you're not open, you can't live those possibilities and you can't fulfill them. What is opportunity? It's chance. It's being in the right place at the right time. It's an opening. It's a breakthrough. It is something that out of those possibilities comes an opportunity to fulfill. It is something that becomes a connection because of those possibilities. I have the ability to see people's possibilities, their paths, what they could be, what they're not being. And all I could do is speak to what I see. All I can do is share what I believe can be. All I can do is show you those possibilities, your opportunity to walk those possibilities and make them something. Believe in them. Take that path. It's up to you. Many people think they have to have a plan before they get into action. No, folks. That's where the doing comes in. Just do it. Sometimes you simply have to walk down the path instinctually, gutturally, and see where the path takes you. From there, a plan is formed. As you walk down the path, the people that you meet, the opportunities that are presented, the possibilities that are presented, the discoveries you make of about yourself, the enlightenment, the knowledge, the empowerment that you receive along the way shows you your plan, shows you what opportunities are ahead of you, shows you that those possibilities and what they can amount to. But you've got to sometimes, blind, deaf, and dumb, have to be willing to walk the path. So in order for you to see, to hear, to feel, to understand what it is you truly need to do in life. So folks, words, they are so utterly important to our lives. The words we say speak to how we feel. The words we say are inviting to other people to join our conversation. The words we say speak to our profoundness, our knowledge, our perspective. They speak to what we fear. They speak to our ignorance. They speak to our arrogance. Words are something that are spoken, are written, are sung, are shared. We listen to the lyrics of a song, and those words speak to us in such a way that if you just spoke to someone, they wouldn't resonate. Because they've been put to music, and because that passion and conviction in that song is sung out to us, it becomes something so meaningful. I have chosen for this show to use the song Words by Bee Gees. Beautiful song. I remember when it first came out and I first listened to it, and I thought it was very apropos to this show. So if you go to the posting, you can just click on the song and listen to Bee Gees sing it. Words are all I say. It's the only way I have to communicate with you. It is how I feel. It's what I see. It's what I understand. It's what I invite. It's what I'm afraid of. It's what I believe I can. It's everything that I am. Please listen to my words. Put down the goddamn phone. Look me in the eye and listen to what I have to say. Listening. When somebody is speaking to you, please listen to them. Please truly hear the words that they're saying. Ask questions. Ask them to define what they're saying, to articulate it in a manner that you understand. Reflect back that understanding. I've been through that experience. This is what I did. I've never been through that experience. How did you get through it? Be inviting. Be engaging. Be respectful. Huge word, folks, and it should be at the top of your vocabulary. Respectful in honor of another person. Respecting that person, not demeaning that person. Empowering that person, honoring that person. Respect is something that is absolutely enormous and should be at the top of that vocabulary. Because by choosing to listen to them, to communicate with them, to see what it is they're saying, to hear what it is they're saying, to feel what it is they're saying, to understand what it is they're saying, you need to respect what they are saying. It doesn't mean you have to agree. It doesn't mean that you're going to agree with their perspective. But you do have to respect it's how they feel. And maybe you can change that perception by your interaction with them. And that interaction of a reflection back of how you perceive that information or what you perceive on the topic can be something that can help them see it from a different point of view. But we do have to respect what we hear. We may not like it, but we do actually have to understand that it is coming from that person's perspective. It could be a reflection of the pain, their confusion, their anger, or it could be a reflection of their joy, of their passion, of their conviction, of their direction. Respect them enough to put your phone down, look at them, and listen to them. Listen to them with your eyes. Listen to them with your heart. Listen to them with your soul. And most certainly listen to them with your ears. I have a bit of a hearing problem. And when I look at somebody, I actually have to see their lips moving in order to hear them. I'm not a lip reader. I just have to see their lips moving for me to feel what I'm hearing. Because I also feel vibration. And that vibration and that tonage is an invitation for me to connect with words. And then I watch the lips and it communicates with me. How do I do a radio station and interview people through that? I always interview people, or pre-interview people first, so that I get their signature, their vibration. And that tells me what I'm going to ask them and how I'm going to conduct the interview. It's a resonance. It's a frequency. It's been on the same wavelength. And so very often I do my interviews closed eyes and I let the questions come to me through the listening of what they're saying. How they're speaking to me will resonate and that will invite a reaction, a question, an invitation. Word, folks. They are the most beautiful way of communicating how we feel, what we want to invite, who we are, and what we want to achieve in life. Please speak to the words that are inviting in your life, and not to the words that will hold you back. Remember, words are energy. Words are something that will invite from the universe of what you want. So don't keep feeding what you don't want. Don't say, I can't, I won't, it will never happen to me. I don't want it. Speak to what you do want, what you do believe in, what you believe you can achieve, what you believe your possibilities are. Invite, invite, invite in a positive attitude, positive frame of mind, invitational, respectful, intuitive, instinctual, and believe. Because when you do, you receive. Until next time, folks. Please be open to receiving the words that not only the universe, but the earth and everything and everyone in it is speaking to you. Bye for now.